and we sing verses 1 to 4. That is the first five stanzas. Psalm number 69. Let us read some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading from verse 13. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Let us pray together. Eternal God, our great and holy heavenly Father, we are reminded in all portions of the Scriptures that God is good and gracious, that God is the ultimately powerful and wise one, the Almighty God, the one who is beyond our understanding and beyond our comparing. And we cannot imagine what God is like because we have no descriptions of what God is like. No man has ever seen God and lived. And yet the Scripture presents this great God to us in terms that are understandable, in terms in which we can grasp his moral perfections, his personal attributes, the names of God, the words of God, and the works of God. And the things that are made declare his glory. And so we read into the creation all around us, God's wisdom and power and Godhead, and to a certain degree his purpose, because all things are really very wonderfully made and very good, and there are depths and mysteries that we can never begin to fathom, let alone find out by our reasoning and our researchings. But we do have the scriptures, O Lord, that explain to us so many of our big questions, and ultimately the biggest question of all, our relationship to this God. And we are told so clearly, not once or twice or thrice, but multitudes of times, the way of salvation, what we must do and what we must be to be saved. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that once again the Scriptures challenge us with its truth, and the Scriptures present us clearly in words of history and proposition, in words of prophecy even, in words of exhortation and words of warning, presenting to us how to be right with God. The great question for us as sinners is not simply the question of how can man be just before God, but how can sinful men be just before God? And in the gospel, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that the gospel declares how we can be right with God. And so we begin with praise and thanksgiving as we lift up our voices and our eyes and our hearts to heaven. We have cause for so much gratitude that we are alive, that we are in the day of grace, that the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. We are glad that he has not come yet, because when he comes, it is the end of all hope. It is the end of the hope of some of our loved ones. When he comes to reign, he comes, we are told, to raise the dead, to judge in righteousness, to bring to a great white throne all the nations that have ever lived, the good and the bad alike, sinners and saints, all gathered for the first and for the last time, all together in one place, never to be in such a gathering again, all equal, all sinners, and all knowing why we are gathered in that great concourse. And so we give thanks that this has not yet happened, Lord, because grace is extended. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, he comes quickly. He comes at the right time. And the right time is when salvation has reached its fullness, and sin has also reached its ugly heights. And so we give thanks, Lord, that today is another day of grace, another day of opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. As we gather here, then, we pray for gratitude that we are allowed to stand in God's house and to come with boldness to the throne of grace. We give thanks that we have a Savior who has gone before us, preparing the way, in whose name we stand and upon whose work we stand with confidence, and who is our great intercessor. And he takes our prayers, our poor, stumbling, ignorant prayers, sinful prayers, and he cleans them, presents them to the Father, and they become acceptable through our great holy high priest. And we give thanks that this is the message of the gospel, that we have an intermediary between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the one through whom God comes to us and speaks to us and deals with us, and the one through whom we deal with God and speak to God. And so we give thanks for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom else, O Lord, can we go? Because he has the words of eternal life. And so we are glad to be here this morning. We are glad to have the provision of this day, the provision of scriptures translated from the original Hebrew and Greek languages and parts of it in Aramaic. And we have it before us in our own language, easily to be read and understood and expounded. And so we pray for grace to listen and grace to sing psalms to God, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We confess that we are sinners upon the earth just like everybody else, but that in Jesus Christ sinners are justified from all their guilt and treated by God as though we had never sinned. This is the astonishing reality, O God, of this great truth of justification by faith alone. So help us to worship. Help us to pray for our families once again, to pray for our rulers once again, to pray for the churches once again, to pray for the world outside once again. And all we pray for God's glory through Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read further in the Gospel of Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter... Where am I? You know, these Roman numerals, I don't know why they ever put these into an English translation. The Gospel of Matthew... And we'll read from verse 1 to verse 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold, and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And so on. Amen. Now, the notices are as usual. The evening service, of course, this evening, 6 o'clock. Wednesday, we continue our midweek meetings at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, as usual, 10:30 and 6 p.m., We're so familiar with these notices that sometimes we wonder, well, why do we repeat them? We're announcing public meetings. We're not a secret society. We don't close our doors. Public meetings are to be publicly announced. And it's as simple as that. So these are public meetings. We welcome visitors with us and also those who are listening in this morning on the telephone. We remind one another of health care for each other. We don't want to be needlessly spreading disease in these days. And the offering will now be received. Psalm number 69, we continue from verse 5 to verse number 13. We sing these, I think it's seven stanzas. Psalm 69, verses 5 to 13.